You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWorld Baseball Show. My name is DJ Short, and with me here once again is Eric Samulski. Coming off our winter meetings recap show today, this is what we in the biz call an emergency pod. I don't know if people in the biz actually say that, but I'm going to say it. And there's good reason for that. As Shohei Ohtani, after much intrigue and mystery, has agreed to a record-breaking 10-year, $700 million contract with the Dodgers. So we'll take a few minutes here to give our reactions and discuss the ramifications both for real life and fantasy leagues. Eric, first, you know, quick gut reaction from the top here when you heard the deal.
Why is it always the Dodgers? I think we talked about it on our last podcast that like this was the expectation from the start, and then the Blue Jays worked their way in, maybe not as much as was reported, and it was a little bit of some showmanship. I tweeted hug a Blue Jays fan, and it was rough. They were used to get the Dodgers price tag up. It felt like this was probably the way it was gonna go. There's no excuses for the Dodgers now. I mean, the top four of this lineup is pretty, pretty good. And there's really no way to get around what they need to accomplish with them.
Right. I tweeted something out earlier today from DraftKings Sportsbook. The Dodgers are now the World Series favorites at plus 550. I don't know if they've quite earned that yet,
sure,
to be honest with you. We'll get into that in a little bit, but the other favorites, Braves plus 700, Yankees plus 900 after acquiring Juan Soto. They still have work to do to earn that too. Mm-hmm. Astros at plus 1,000, Rangers also plus 1,000, defending World Series champions, Phillies at plus 1,100, Blue Jays at plus 1,400. We'll get into a little bit later what they do from this point forward. But like you said, the Blue Jays worked themselves in the mix here, and yeah, I think surprised a lot of people, but they were legitimately in it. Ohtani visited the Blue Jays facility in Dunedin, Florida. So they were right there. They were a legitimate contender. Of course, it turned out to be false, but there was a supposed flight that Ohtani was on, a private jet, and then
that the guy from Shark Tank was on
there. That day will live in infamy on Twitter or X, and still shows you that X can be pretty darn fun when it's firing on all cylinders, for sure.
The Tyler O'Neill day was what that day will be known as.
That's what it turned out to be. Yes, that's true. So Ohtani's deal is now the richest in all of professional sports. Mm-hmm. Not only beating up Mike Trout's previous major league record, which was $426.5 million, and now Ohtani's $700. Of course, Trout, his former teammate, we'll get in the Angels in a little bit too. Beating out Patrick Mahomes' contract with the Chiefs, which is $503 million. But also prominent soccer players, Messi, Ronaldo. Ohtani is the highest paid athlete in the world, at least in total value here. Now, a lot of this contract with the Dodgers, or at least the expectation, is that it will be deferred. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has to be for luxury tax purposes for the Dodgers to compete moving forward and out of their roster without the luxury tax implications playing a part. And that's important for where the Dodgers see themselves now. I think the lineup is in pretty good shape at this point. I think it's safe to say, even with a lot of complementary pieces as you get down in the order, Gavin Lux will be back, which is a big help. But this rotation for the Dodgers, I kind of alluded to this a minute ago, there's work to do with this rotation. Bobby Miller, you know, we have big expectations for. He's locked in. Walker Buehler coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's presumably locked in, although probably on an innings limit in 2024, you would think.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's pretty iffy. Emmett Sheehan, Ryan Pepiot.
Sure.
Not much beyond that at this point.
No. And I think it was good for Buehler that he was reportedly would have returned at the end of last year if it wasn't a playoff situation. I mean, he was healthy enough to throw games, but they didn't. The minor league season had ended. They collectively decided that bringing him back to pitch in a playoff situation was not ideal. But that speaks to his health in a way that suggests that while they're probably going to be cautious of his innings, there's an expectation that it's not, you know, we're not looking at like 90 to 100. We might be looking at like 130, 140, depending on how he's feeling, which is something significantly better. And then obviously Ohtani is not figuring into that for this upcoming year, but the money suggests that he is figuring into that in their future. I know a lot of people have joked about it being a lot of money to pay for a closer. I don't think that we're down that road yet. I know he's had two Tommy Johns. There are pitchers who have come back from that before. He may not pitch at the caliber that he was pitching at before, but if he pitches, if he's a good third starter for the Dodgers and hits the way he hits, he's still valuable for them.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, I would just, you know, we're not going to go into all the details of the money with people. There are lots of good articles out there breaking down the contract. I would encourage people, if they're interested, to read those articles. You know, Jeff Passan has tweeted his out and whatever. But this is a contract that will probably, by all reports, be somewhere around $40 million per year for the first few years. So that $70 million a year figure is not really accurate when you're breaking down the present day value. And they're going to backload that because, you know, the Dodgers believe inflation is going to change contracts and all of that stuff. But if you're looking at Ohtani as like a $43 million a year player, that's not that crazy, right?
No,
that lines up a little bit more with, you know, every other really like star player in baseball.
Right. And if he wants to win a World Series, like, he should be willing to defer some of that money to, you know, get some talent around him. And we'll see what the Dodgers do from here. The free agent market, it's not lacking in impact arms, but also there's trade candidates, Tyler Glasnow, Dylan Cease, Corbin Burns, free agency. Of course, there's still Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Lucas Giolito, Marcus Stroman, another offseason or another overseas potential addition with Shota Imanaga coming over to the United States potentially. So there's lots of options out there. I do wonder with the Dodgers and Yamamoto, because there's been a lot of speculation over the past week. And of course, given his age, that he's only 25, Yamamoto, I'm talking about, that he could get 10 years and $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
Will the Dodgers be willing to go there with him now after spending on Ohtani?
They apparently are. If you just look at numbers, you think, how is that possible? How is it possible to sign Ohtani and then sign somebody else who's going to make $300 million? You know, if that contract again is spread out over 10 years and they, you know, finagle the, you know, the way that it breaks up in the years, and then maybe he's making $26 million a year early on instead of, you know, $30 million a year or whatever it is, there's probably a way that somebody smarter with finances than
smarter
me
than us
can explain to you how it's going to happen. I have been hearing, and it's maybe our East Coast bias, but I have been hearing that the Mets and the Yankees appear to be the front runners for Yamamoto. You know, we talked last podcast about what Steve Cohen's trying to do. The Yankees are meeting with him on Monday. They're meeting with him with Hideki Matsui, Masahiro Tanaka, you know, trying to kind of like sell the idea of the history of, you know, Japanese stars and the Yankees. And then apparently the Red Sox are still in the mix. Yoshida and Yamamoto were teammates in Japan, so there's that angle as well. It does feel though like the Red Sox are a team recently that are not going to pay $300+ million on the free agent market. So who knows?
So we'll get into more fantasy stuff on Ohtani here in a second. Before we do, this holiday season, get the fantasy fan in your life the exclusive RotoWorld Draft Guide bundle featuring expert analytics, player insights, and season-long tools. Get all three of the draft guides for one low price. Go to nbcsports.com/holidaybundle and use code HOLIDAY23. Again, it's HOLIDAY23 at checkout to receive 25% off and a $10 Fanatics gift card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Great gift, especially since we're working on our RotoWorld Baseball Draft Guide right now, and Ohtani and Soto coming off the board in recent days makes it a lot easier.
Yes, to provide you with the accurate information you need.
Yeah. It's exciting. And hopefully, you know, with Ohtani coming off the board here, it's not official yet, but, you know, he still has to take a physical, and that's no small thing.
Sure.
That. We will see a lot more signings happen in the coming days. So let's talk about Ohtani in 2024. From a fantasy perspective. Now, important to say 2024 because he will just be a hitter as, of course, he rehabs from that surgery to repair the UCL in his elbow. I think this moves Ohtani up a little bit as a hitter, kind of like we were talking about Soto the other day. I think you love the, you know, the top third, top half of that Dodgers lineup. Dodger Stadium is not like a great offensive venue, but it's not terrible either. So I don't think it moves him around a ton. Counting stats should be there. We're never like Ohtani. You're not drafting him for his batting average, but you're going to get the power numbers. You're going to get some speed. You're going to get, in this case, in that top half of the Dodgers lineup, you know, help from the supporting cast in terms of runs scored and RBI potential. Matthew Pouliot wrote his instant reaction and put it on rotoworld.com on Saturday night. Check it out. If you can, he said that he thinks Ohtani will go in the 10 to 15 range in mixed league drafts. Sound about right to you? It does to me. Curious what you
think. Yeah, it does. It's my concerns with Ohtani exist still, regardless of him playing with the Dodgers. I think the biggest one for me is I don't think it's a stretch to say he's not stealing 20 bases coming off Tommy John surgery, right? Like, why do you want your prize asset who's recovering from a major arm injury stealing and sliding headfirst into second more often than is necessary? You're just opening up the possibility of unnecessary injuries, and then you double that with, now is he hitting in front of Freddie Freeman and Will Smith? Because now if, and you know, that's roster resource currently has him hitting second. We'll see when the Dodgers start doing their lineups. So if you're doing that, again, why do you, are you running him at that rate? So if Ohtani goes down to like a 10 stolen base hitter instead of a 20 stolen base hitter, well, that impacts fantasy value. A little bit, not a lot, but you're talking about the difference between picking somebody 10 and picking somebody 15. Those little differences make a difference when you're picking nits for like the top tier guys. Ohtani scored 102 runs last year. He's probably going to score more if he hits second in the Dodgers lineup. But how many more can you realistically project for somebody who already had 102 runs, right?
Yeah.
He had 95 RBIs. If he's hitting second with the Dodgers, again, how many more RBIs can you realistically project for somebody hitting second in the batting order coming from hitting fourth in the batting order? So maybe he gets 100, 105. So you're all still right in the same range of everything. And then, listen, the Dodgers home park is slightly worse for left-handed power than the Angels park is. You're talking like minuscule numbers, but like, you know, it's not like Soto going to Yankee Stadium. You're like, oh, this could unlock another level. So I think you're kind of getting the same Ohtani season you got last year with maybe a touch more counting stats, but fewer steals.
Yeah.
At a util only spot.
Sure.
So I think I still think it's tough to take him, you know, super early ahead of all these other guys.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to fall in the same range as Juan Soto and Bryce Harper, which is interesting. Harper, of course, now will be first base only, which I actually think makes him more interesting to me personally. But what's interesting about all of these guys, Soto, Ohtani, Harper, it's like you're going to get kind of similar-ish profiles in that you're getting the power, you're getting the RBIs, you're getting a little bit of speed. Like, I don't see a ton of separation between those guys. I think it's just a matter of obviously how the draft falls and how the board falls. But if you had your preference of those three, which one would you take?
At this point, I might lean Harper.
Yeah.
I wish he was outfield eligible because we talked about in the last podcast that I do think outfield thins out. So that kind of has me thinking like maybe Soto's making it closer than it would be normally, because getting that like rock solid outfield one guy, I think is super valuable. But I think Harper is a great bet. And like, do you cross your fingers and say, just give me 10 games in the outfield, right? I mean, he's gonna be recovered. Like, just give me 10 games where they're like, oh, we'll throw him out there. The one thing I was thinking with Shohei is like, next year, Yordan Alvarez has outfield eligibility, right? Yordan Alvarez was always he's a util only, you know, bat, and he has health concerns that are maybe more prominent than Ohtani because his are in his legs and, you know, his knees, and they prevent him from playing a lot of games, but like, if you look at it from a pure hitter standpoint, talent-wise, Yordan Alvarez and Shohei Ohtani are both premier power hitters who have the ability to hit 40-plus home runs, drive in 110-plus, you know, RBIs. Ohtani currently right now, the way rosters stand, has a better team context, will steal some bases, and probably score more runs. So he's probably more valuable. Lineup construction wise, you being able to put Yordan Alvarez in the outfield makes him more valuable. So I'm not saying you're taking Alvarez over Ohtani, but I'm saying like for me that range is maybe a little closer than like Bryce Harper Ohtani. I think I'm more inclined to say definitely Harper, whereas you know I think Ohtani drops a little bit in the range where like I don't know where Yordan Alvarez is going right now. But I think like
he's kind of in that same range, maybe
15 to 20
bit.
Kind of feels like where he usually goes.
Right. And with the kind of environment that Major League Baseball is now with stolen bases, like if you want to, you know, I wouldn't say reach for Alvarez, but if you want that kind of, obviously you're not going to get the speed, but he can hit for average too.
Right.
You can get the speed later, especially if it's like with Soto and Harper and Ohtani, they're not stealing 30 bases. You know, they're going to steal 10 to 20, probably.
Right.
You can easily get that later.
Yeah, and I think if you think Ohtani's stealing 20-plus bases again, then sure, that isn't as close. If you think Ohtani, like I do, goes down closer to like 10, then that 10 stolen base gap is a little bit easier to make up. And I just looked right now that from on NFBC from drafts over the last month, so from November 10th to December 10th, it's 57 drafts. Otani was going 15th, Harper is going 16th, Alvarez is going 17th.
Love it.
And so actually, and Soto's going 14th. So those four guys are all right in a row. So it really is a choice that you're gonna make. And position, I really do think factors into that a decent amount if you're on formats like NFBC.
I agree. So we'll talk about Blue Jays and Angels here in a second, where they go from here. But first, this coming Sunday is an AFC showdown with playoff implications when Lamar Jackson and the Ravens travel to Jacksonville for a date with the Jaguars. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on NBC and Peacock.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We're actually recording this on a football Sunday right now. I've had to close out my fantasy game tracker. I'm just trying to focus on baseball and my job. But as soon as we're done here, I'm turning it right back on like the sicko that I am. All right. So let's
just
talk
to watch the Texans Jets like a sicko.
Oh, my God. Like, it was the only game that I had offered right now. And I'm like, I guess I'll put this on. And I was like, this is painful. But today, You know, the Jets actually look like a competent offense.
Very sure. Strange. Jets fans probably feel better today than Blue Jays fans do.
I mean, that's definitely true, which is, yeah, very, very rare. So appreciate it, Jets fans. But yeah, I mean, you got to feel for Blue Jays fans right now. You know, Friday afternoon, they were high on the horse. You know, mm-hmm. They were very excited and rightfully so with everything that's happening. But I feel like anything they do from here is a letdown, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing comparable out there. We know that the Blue Jays, well, obviously Matt Chapman's in free agency. Mm-hmm. Kevin Kiermaier is too. They need a lefty bat. There's not a ton of lefty bats out there in free agency. The most prominent one is Cody Bellinger.
Right. That's the dot that everybody is connecting, right?
Yeah.
Is, okay, you swung and missed on the biggest free agent hitter, so now you turn your attention to the second biggest. If you were willing to pay whatever for Otani, you should be willing to pay something markedly less for Bellinger. And, you know, there is space, right? There is a spot for him.
Yep.
You know, there, if you look currently on Roster Resource, Nathan Lukes is set to start in left field for the Blue Jays with Dalton Varsho in center. That's not going to happen. Like, no. They're going to find somebody else by opening day. Bellinger makes sense as a fallback. He had a really good year. We understand the caliber of player that he is. We understand, you know, the injuries that he kind of battled through for, I guess, two and a little bit seasons, if you're counting that 2020 season, which really 2020 wasn't terrible. It gets lumped in because his batting average was .239, but like the walk rate, the strikeout rate, all that kind of stuff was kind of in line, and you feel like that may have gravitated back to a normal season. So two bad years for Bellinger, still just coming off his age 27 season. You know, 20-20 guy, 30-20 guy, potentially in a good park. Career 260 hitter, and that's including the two terrible seasons.
Yeah.
So I think there's every reason to believe that last year was him getting reverting back to form, not a fluke.
The risk is the underlying metrics to his production last year were like it didn't match up exactly. Mm-hmm. The average exit velocity, like, depends on how much stock you want to put in that, but it was very pedestrian.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. So in addition to kind of the erratic career that he's had, the injuries, when you have results that don't match up with the metrics, there's another piece of risk in there. But mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's Shohei Ohtani. That's the thing.
Of course, yes.
it's Ohtani and then large gap Cody Bellinger. Now, yes, he's the number one option. There's also Jung-Hoo Lee, a left-handed hitter, mm-hmm. coming over from the KBO. He could be interesting. Jock Peterson, not super exciting, but productive left-handed bat. Could be DH most likely, replacing like a Brandon Belt, but could also play the outfield if he has to. Like, I think they make sense out in free agency. On Friday, there was a report that the Twins are shopping Jorge Polanco, a switch hitter. I think he can make some sense there for the Blue Jays too. So there's, you know, Joey Votto's out there too. I don't think anyone would complain about Joey Votto, you know, signing with the Blue Jays in his home country of Canada. Like, that could be fun. Is he going to be, you know, the needle mover for the offense? Not really.
No, but the Blue Jays are one of the only teams that employ two catchers in their lineup every day because they DH one of them. And that's no knock on Danny Jansen. Like, he's a very good hitter, but you know, getting somebody like Joey Votto to be a bench bat DH is not a huge downgrade. In fact, it, depending on the quality of performance you get from Votto, could be an upgrade. The Jung-Hoo Lee signing, it would be, you know, he is a strong defender. And that was kind of what they leaned towards last year when they, you know, put Kevin Kiermaier in the outfield.
Right.
There's a, you know, other guys that are out there. Like, there's a potential reunion with Teoscar Hernandez.
Right.
There's Jorge Soler. If you're just looking for like a DH option, he's not somebody who's going to play in the outfield. You know, if you really swing and miss on some guys, there's like, you know, guys like Eddie Rosario. If you want defense in the outfield, you know, Michael A. Taylor, Harrison Bader, these are not like, oh my God, I can't believe they got those guys. That's kind of where we go after Cody Bellinger, though.
Yep.
Like, after true. Cody it's Bellinger, it is probably Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel, right? Like guys that the Blue Jays had and got rid of, and they could go back to that route if they wanted, but they seemed like they wanted to add defense in the outfield. And so then you got to add like your Soler at DH if you're going to put somebody like Lee or Bader or Michael A. Taylor in the outfield. That lineup needs power. That lineup needs pop. And it's crazy to say because we know that Vlad is in there. We know that Bo Bichette is in there. But that's kind of it, right? Like, George Springer is going to be 35, is on the downside. We know what we're getting. Solid player, but nothing's popping off the page there. Kevin Biggio didn't really develop. Like, he's a fine add-in. Dalton Varsho took a huge step back last year, offensively speaking. Like, he's not really, you can't count on him as a difference maker. Offensively, Alejandro Kirk has not evolved into a difference maker. So there's a lot of holes in that lineup. If they want to compete with the Rays and with the Yankees, and depending on what the Red Sox do, I mean, I do think adding Tyler O'Neill was a good piece for them, but doesn't separate them from the Blue Jays. But if any team wants to compete in that division, the Orioles who won the division.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Right,
yeah.
Those guys. So you have to make big moves. And I know the Blue Jays tried, but, you know, they can't fold up shop now.
So the Angels, we knew it was very unlikely Ohtani would return to the Angels. So now that it's here, I feel like the Angels are at a crossroads as a franchise. Mm-hmm. Now, it did come out this week, like, the Angels are not trading Mike Trout.
They should.
But I feel like it's one of those things that it will only happen if Mike Trout goes to them and says, I want to be traded.
Right? And they should, when I say they should, I don't just mean because they're a team that's not really going anywhere right now and they can get value from Mike Trout. I mean, they should, because that dude deserves to be on a playoff baseball team. He's going to be 33 next year. He's battled tons of injury issues. Like, we don't really know how many more seasons of Mike Trout we're going to get. We thought that when he had that heart issue come up a couple of years ago, that we might have been done seeing Mike Trout play baseball. I just, like, that's what everybody's like, oh, Otani's probably going to play playoff baseball now, and that's great. Well, I want to see Mike Trout play playoff baseball for a good team. He deserves it. Baseball fans deserve it. He strikes me as a loyal enough dude that he's not going to go and broach the subject with them about it. But I would hope that the organization and the player are having open conversations. I think they owe it to him if they go into this season with a team that's not a clear contender to say, look, here's realistically where we need to recalibrate and look 2-3 years down the road. You know, you're 33 years old. Do you want to be here for those 3 years, or would you like us to see what we can do? Because it would be great to see him somewhere else.
I totally agree. Obviously, you know, the Angels could go out and sign one or two pitchers to, you know, replace Ohtani in their rotation. They could do that. There's arms out there they can sign. But is it really going to matter? Like, I don't know if it's like just makes sense for, as an organization, to spend that money on a team that just looks very flawed. You know, Anthony Rendon, they're locked into that contract. It's like the outfield, like Joe Adele, like, is it ever going to happen for him? Right. Is Mickey Moniak like for real? Like there is some good young talent on this team. So I do find them somewhat intriguing, but I feel like the Angels would be better served. And that's not often I'm like, I want to see a team tank or whatever. But I feel like they would be better off, you know, going into a multiple year rebuild. Yes. And like you said, doing Trout a favor, sending him to a team where he's well positioned to have the playoff run that we all think he should have.
Their lineup is split almost directly down the middle with intriguing guys 25 years old and under and old dudes.
Yep.
Injury plagued old dudes. I mean, Mike Trout, Taylor Ward isn't old. I mean, he's older for baseball terms because he'll be 31 next year, but he's not old. But Mike Trout, Taylor Ward, Anthony Rendon, Brandon Drury are all going to be 31 or older. With the exception of Brandon Drury, they've all battled, you know, some injuries. And then Luis Renjifo kind of straddles that middle as a 27-year-old who's like not a prospect, but, you know, just kind of a solid player. But then you've got like Logan Ohapi, Zach Neto, Nolan Schanuel, you know, you mentioned Mickey Moniak, Joe Adele, Trey Cabbage is 26 years old, went 30-30 last year in AAA. Like, these are guys where I would just be like, why don't we just see what the young hitters can do and see if we can make a young, you know, a team of exciting young offensive players, or just see if there are any that are out there on the, that are worth rebuilding around. Because if you look at the Angels' top prospects, it's almost all like outfielders and pitchers who are in high A or lower. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a team, and some of them are really interesting prospects by all accounts from what I've read about them. Mm-hmm. But like, they're not coming up for 3 years.
Well, given the Angels' penchant for just
Yes. I just mean, you've got 20-year-olds in high A.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, maybe they'll come up in a year or two. But I just mean like
help isn't coming through that door.
Yes. Your timeline is 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
And just lean into it. I mean, that's, you just have to lean into it. Ohtani was the only reason that they should have been trying to go all in still on the current roster, and that is now gone.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I think Trout will begin the year on the Angels roster. I'd be shocked if he didn't. But I could see one of those things, like, as the season moves along and, you know, the Angels turn out to be horrible, which I think is a pretty decent chance that will be the case, that the conversation is had and we'll see which teams are contenders. And if he feels like there's one that's a good fit, like, I could see it happening come trade deadline this year. So we'll see. Something to keep an eye on. Sorry, Angels fans. If I don't mean to kick you while you're down, but I feel like a lot of Angels fans might agree with that too. Like, they need to just like pick a lane and like go for it. So we shall see.
Yeah. It's literally, I mean, it is staring them in the face, right? Like, their roster, their lineup is split down the middle. Their rotation is kind of split down the middle too. You think about it that way in terms of like prospects and older guys. I mean, you've got guys like, you know, Tyler Anderson, and I guess Griffin Canning is still 27, even though he's battled tons of injuries. But like, you've got like Chase Silseth, Reed Detmers. Are those the guys you're going with, you're leaning into?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that'll do it for our emergency pod. I don't know the next time we'll talk to you guys. I said that the other day, and then 2 days later, we're back. But if Yamamoto signs, I feel
midweek
like
probably, Yamamoto. It's gonna
we
happen.
Might have to do another emergency pod. So you probably haven't heard the last of us yet on the Roto-World Baseball show. We have our new name. So remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. So you can actually find all your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Also follow us on Twitter or X if you don't already. Eric is at Samsky NYC. I'm at DJ Short. Take care, everyone. We will see you next time. Enjoy the hot stove.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.